22-year low still, but probably close to a 20-year low, even with today's increase. So, you know, the mindset in the trade coming into the report was almost the exact opposite of last month. We had a fund-led rally, and we went into the report wondering if USDA would give us any numbers that would slow down the funds and make them think twice about buying. They gave them, you know, the report gave no indication of that. Funds bought a few days later, but really since the 12th of May, we haven't done much in this market, and that's the interesting thing. The major highs in Dease corn, 518, the major highs in Nov beans, the 12th, the day of the report, and the major highs in the July wheat, 523. So we had the exact opposite mindset coming into today's report. Outside markets were going down. Folks were worried about inflation and interest rates slowing down, you know, the economic growth. Dollar started to perk up, especially with the killing of Al-Zarqawi. That, and you know, you had that kind of mindset going in, and we looked at the trade today and said, okay, is there anything in the USDA report that would slow down the idea that we need to keep selling this market off? And really, the USDA gave us, you know, pretty decent numbers when it was all said and done.
And so it was a confusing picture as we entered the report day, and you're feeling more confident about the marketplace at this point?
Well, I think the thing that we see is that the wheat market was supposed to give us some leadership, but it has fallen victim to what usually happens this time of year. You have a negative demand mindset by traders, and they are saying that compensates for the low carryover supplies, and you're also entering harvest. And even though we're all expecting a pretty poor harvest out of the hard red winter crop, they're still saying the combines are rolling. And so we really needed today to have USDA give us a definitive number in terms of lower carryover to put a kind of a stop and put the brakes on that sentiment by Chicago. And we were hoping that we would get a technical confirmation of that. In other words, get above that 10-day moving average in July wheat, make the shorts out there really second-guess themselves and maybe sidestep themselves and get out of the markets for a while. But the trade just didn't get that. In fact, they actually added to. Fortunately, when it was all said and done, the wheat, it was reported that funds sold about 7,000 contracts, not a super heavy day, and on corn, probably around 2,000 contracts on the day, so pretty light there as well.
Tell me about farmers in the Lafayette area and then those around the nation that you might talk to, and what kind of conditions that they're either, I suppose, spraying and maybe field cultivating at this point. A few of them probably are still putting something in the ground, I would think.
Yeah, they really are. I think that the one exception out there in terms of is the crop as good a stand in corn and beans right now as it was last year at this time, probably the one exception that says that it is are the Iowa folks. We talked to probably half a dozen Iowa clients this week, and they've got a very good stand, came into the planting with good subsoil moisture. They're very happy with their population and the way the crop came out of the ground. They do need the rain, but this weekend, if the rain comes, they're telling us they're going to be in a real good situation. But I would say between them and some parts of Minnesota, you've got very few farmers out there, whether it's from Ohio all the way into the Dakotas and Nebraska, that would say they've got as good a stand right now as they did last year at this time. And that's the real rub with what's going on in the markets right now. That's the real issue that we're picking up on the phone lines on the other line, on the other side of that phone line, is that why are the outside markets going down and hurting our, you know, corn and bean markets when we've got, you know, not as good a crop started as we did last year?
I know the folks in deep southern Indiana, really don't need the rain, but it seems to me that farmers in central Illinois, northern Illinois, maybe in your part of the world, are thinking the rain might not be a bad deal, and that looks like it's coming their way pretty shortly.
Yeah, it really does, and that certainly did impact the trade today, you know, as far as the mindset of if Iowa would not have gotten the projected rains on the models this afternoon, and if the heat would have returned in terms of that dome of high pressure and ridging would have returned in the models stronger probably in the afternoon forecast, we would have seen those afternoon corn markets turn around, and we probably would have seen the sellers go ahead and cover going into the weekend. And that leads you to, you know, the Sunday night trade in corn. It's going to be pretty exciting, we think, if there are any missed rains, because we did hold the channel support line in corn. And we do have, you know, a buy the rumors, sell the fact type mindset going into the weekend weather.
It'll be kind of fun to watch that trade on Sunday night, because now we're below 270 at this point and in the Dease contracts. It'll be interesting to see how things play out and whether the market will make a run at that, how often it'll make a run at 267 or 270.
Yeah, and the big deal here now is we get the impression from Chicago, and it's kind of a strong impression, and we'll probably deal more with this on the Commodity Week program, but the idea here at this point is that we don't want to sell beans, is what the Chicago people are saying.
Yeah.
And we say, why is that? Well, because the funds are going to come in and buy this, and it's very interesting because they're more eager to almost sell more corn than they are the beans, and we're the exact opposite in terms of what we're recommending to clients, especially in light of the new statistic of, I think, around 300 million bushels just came out by USDA that is under loan right now in 05-06 beans. And our mindset is you've got to get a put bought in those beans. And if you want to take a chance on a higher move at this time, take the chance in the corn because you still have very low wheat stocks. And we will get through harvest very quickly. And at that time, we think the wheat can have a good bounce.
Friday is my busy day trying to get everything out the door from the College of ACES, and I do a lot of writing on Friday mornings. I tend to procrastinate. So I didn't see all of the World Agricultural and Supply and Demand estimates, but then I catch a note that they didn't really change the cash price for corn for the coming year.
I think that's right.
Would you agree with that?
Well, for right now you would, because they also put in the very first paragraph of the WASDE report that this is all based on March 31st prospective planning. And that's the big, that's the thing that the trade's still waiting for, is what the USDA comes out in June.
And you got any estimates at this point? Or are you falling on the side that there will be more corn out there? I saw Chuck Collins today said the reason that's there is that they think that, I saw Collins today reported saying that he thinks that the 78 million is actually good.
Yeah, we're on a higher end than that. We're with the 3-year average, and we feel like the prices didn't do much to buy a lot more corn acres at this point.
We're having some problems with
I meant bean acres, but we got an echo going.
Yeah, I know. We're having some problems with the phone line. This is one of the reasons, actually, Daryl Good, who's our guest this week, I'm going to have him in studio with us. So not only will you be here, Mike, and I know you'll have a quick drive over, but Daryl will be in studio with us along with Greg Johnson of the Andersons coming in for Commodity Week this week and Kirk Kimmel. So we should have an awfully good panel. I'm hoping that that'll be a good discussion this afternoon, and we'll put it up on the web so everybody can pick it up tonight if they'd like. That's at WILLAG.org. And, of course, you can listen to it tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Central Time right here on this station. Anything we didn't talk about, the phone line's awfully bad, so I'm going to let you kind of tell me what you want, and then we'll get on with the rest of the show.
No, we'll leave it at that for right now. We'll come over and join the party here later.
All right. Thanks much. We appreciate
it.
That is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Friday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey. Mike's solar forecast for tonight across the two-state region looks like this. He says, mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, some thunderstorms. Lows this evening from about 50 in the far northern part of Illinois to 65 in the far south of tomorrow. Mostly cloudy skies, some areas of rain, scattered thunderstorms, mainly in the northern and central sections. Highs tomorrow, he says, will range from 60 in northwestern Illinois to 90 in the far south. The extended forecast for the two-state region Saturday night, mostly scattered showers, some thunderstorms. Those will primarily be in the central and southern sections. Sunday in the north, partly sunny. In central sections, partly sunny. A few isolated showers possible. In the south, mostly cloudy. A few scattered showers and thunderstorms. Monday and Tuesday, a mix of clouds, some sunshine. A few scattered showers, some thunderstorms possible then too. Highs Sunday ranging from the upper 60s in the far north to around 80 in the south. Southern parts of Illinois, that is. Highs Monday ranging from the 60s near Lake Michigan to the 80s in the south. And highs Tuesday from the 70s in the north to the 80s in the south. Lows Sunday ranging from the upper 40s in the far north to the 60s in the far south. And lows Monday and Tuesday will range from the 50s in the north to the east and 60s in the southwest.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Just this early reminder to put this date in your schedule. Now, Thursday, August the 17th, will be the 50th anniversary of Agronomy Day right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. More details on that one later in the summer. Just one quick story in the Ag News for the day. The U.S. Senate dealt another setback to efforts to permanently repeal the estate tax, Thursday killing a motion to even consider the bill. Backers needed 60 votes but got just 57, including three Democrats. Two Republicans voted no. Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin says even the American Farm Bureau Federation could not cite a single example of a family being forced to sell its farm because of the so-called death tax.
Not one farm that has been lost because federal estate tax liability. Oh, you'll hear them crying and moaning and whining and rending their garments about how this is needed to save family farms. And they can't come up with a single example in America where a family farm's been lost by the estate tax.
The Farm Bureau and other small business groups have long argued that families spend tens of thousands of dollars on estate planners and lawyers to protect those assets. The House voted last year for permanent estate tax repeal, but its future in the Senate now looks uncertain at best. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Up next, farmers need to check their cash rent agreements. In the eyes of the government, these might just be considered crop share leases, and if that is the case, the landlord may be entitled to some of those government payments. Whether a farm lease meets the technical definition of a cash lease or a share lease under the federal regulations determines whether the farm operator alone or both the operator and the landlord is to receive certain USDA Farm Program payments. Flexible or adjustable cash rental arrangements, which technically may be share leases under the regulations, can be especially problematic, says University of Illinois Extension Agricultural Law Specialist Don Utman.
Well, there are actually federal regulations that define a crop share lease and a share lease for purposes of farm program payments. And these rules go on to say that if one has a cash lease under these technical definitions, any farm program payments are supposed to go entirely to the tenant operator. If, on the other hand, the lease is a share lease under these technical regulations, then any farm program payments are supposed to be divided between the landlord and the tenant.
And that sounds straightforward. A farmer with a cash agreement gets all the farm program payments, and those with crop share leases have to share with the landlord. That's not necessarily the case for those with cash rent agreements, though. They may, by law, still have to share the farm program payments, says Utman.
So, for example, there are a number of leases in Illinois that are variations of the cash lease. Sometimes they're called flexible rent leases. Sometimes they are called hybrid leases. Sometimes they're called combination leases. They have some characteristics of the cash lease and may even be labeled as a cash lease. But if they are analyzed carefully under the federal regulations pertaining to farm program payments, they might fall into the category of a share lease instead of a cash lease. People who have been signing up for farm program payments in the past or who plan to participate in the future might have a lease that they honestly believe is a cash lease and believe that they therefore need to have all the farm program payments going to the tenant, when in fact, if that lease is very carefully analyzed, it would be a share lease, and they would need to have the program payments divided differently.
Improper division of farm program payments can result in ineligibility for farm program payments and, in some circumstances, a need to pay back previous payments. If a landlord and a tenant have the problem, it may be wise for one of them to consult with legal counsel before taking further steps. If asked, the FSA is obligated to pursue the matter. You can read more from Don Uteman on the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now for a look at the cash grain market on this Friday afternoon is Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Bruce is the general manager of the Co-op's 7 East Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Cash grain prices in your area holding up steady on the basis or not?
Basis levels for our numbers have just been very steady over the last week or so. Rail numbers have been pretty quiet. The market overall has been pretty quiet. At the Gulf, we've seen a little bit of an uptick at the CIF-NOLA numbers. Part of that, I think, is increasing or offsetting increasing barge freight. It's been up about 30% over the last week, so the CIF numbers have been up 4. Beans have just been steady down at the Gulf, so that's backing off to some lower river numbers.
Were you surprised by the sell-off during the day today after this morning's release?
Oh, a little bit. I mean, it looked to me like we tried to rally on what was essentially a friendly corn number out in the new crop. The problem, I think, is that we ran into some technical selling nearby. We've had a couple days here. The funds is starting to liquidate some of that record long position they had. So that's always the danger we have with those, you know, big fund numbers.
Farmers asking you a lot of questions today about where you think the market is headed?
Actually, it's been a very quiet day. We haven't had a whole lot of phone calls today, probably because of the sell-off. You know, when you look at a book, though, as a comparison to new crop as a comparison to normal, we do have a pretty large book on for this year and historically even for next year.
Lots of spraying, row crop cultivating going on in your area?
A lot of that. There's been a little bit of replant going on. We ran into some fields that had some problems with crusting, so we had some replanting going on earlier. A lot of side dressing going on. So it's been a very busy week here out in the fields.
Your expectations as an elevator man at this point as to the size of the crop that you'll have to try to take into your elevators?
Right now, you know, if we can keep finishing out and keep getting good timely rains, we have real good potential. I would say our crop here is maybe 1 to 2 weeks behind, just a few miles south there, you know, in the Champaign-Bemin area. They're ahead of us. Springfield's ahead of us by that 1 to 2 weeks. But overall, despite the replants from the people I've talked to across the belt, it sounds like we have an excellent stand. We had real good germinations.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at 223 at Paxton on nearby corn and 563 on soybeans.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks much. Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Farmers Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us from his office on this Friday afternoon, as he always does. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Urbana School Superintendent Gene Amberg says he'll retire next year after 15 years as head of School District 116. The 55-year-old Amberg says he'll take advantage of a state early retirement option to step down. Amberg made the announcement today at Urbana High School, where he received an ovation from administrators, teachers, and other staff. Urbana School Board President Joyce Hudson says Amberg remains well-regarded by most of the community, even after years of labor talks and other hot-button issues. A nonprofit group is looking at the Vermilion County town of Hoopston as a possible location for a museum devoted to the 1960s. George Peterson, president of the 60s Museum, says they hope to acquire the old Wilden apartment building in Hoopston for the museum and expand it later. He says the museum would include displays on the U.S. space program, the civil rights movement, and the Vietnam War. Peterson outlined the museum proposal before the Hoopston City Council this week in a bid for community support. Alderman Ed Lout says they need more specifics, such as how the museum would be financed. A South Bend television station says it will no longer air ads by the liberal activist group MoveOn.org, critical of Republican Indiana Congressman Chris Ciccola. WSBT-TV says it may resume airing the commercials if MoveOn.org edits them to take out what they say are misleading references. The state of Indiana is selling two helicopters and an airplane for $685,000 as part of an effort to reduce its fleet from 20 aircraft to 12 over the next few years. Governor Mitch Daniels handed over the keys to the airplane yesterday. The 1972 twin-engine Beechcraft Baron was sold to AgriFlight Services of Wakarusa for $66,000. Western Illinois Congressman Lane Evans' chief of staff was named as personal guardian today, and a judge appointed a Quad City bank as the guardian of his estate. Evans has been battling complications of Parkinson's disease that kept him off the House floor for nearly 4 months. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey joins us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast across the two-state region, and we're hopeful that we can bring Jim in with us. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather forecast for the weekend and what we can look for in terms of rainfall.
Yeah, if we look at this weekend, some pretty good chances of rain pretty much all of the weekend. In fact, slight chance for today and on into Saturday and Sunday evening there. And they're estimating amounts across Illinois from about a quarter of an inch up to an inch of rain out of this event. And, you know, that's pretty typical for this time of year. So it's a nice little relief from the dry weather that we've had this week.
It has been fairly dry, but we were running just about on schedule for rainfall, I think, at this time across most of the state.
That's right. Pretty much all the state is back to something close to normal in 2006. Of course, we still have some long-term deficits up, especially up around northern Illinois. But I think for the most part, we're in pretty good shape. Soil moisture looks good. Stream flow looks good. So I think we're in pretty good shape for this growing season.
I have just a bit of a question since you're a climatologist. As I was riding back and forth to work this week, it's about a 12-15 mile ride on the interstate. It seemed to me if I rode with the windows open that I was getting an awful lot of small silty dust that was just settling on my skin. You can't really see it in the air, but is there just a whole bunch of extra soil particles riding the higher winds this past week?
You know, it's funny you mention that. I've noticed the same thing. My eyes have really been kind of watery and kind of gritty.
Yeah, it's been awful.
So, yeah, I think there are some small particles out there. And, you know, sometimes in the past, that's not Illinois dust that you're looking at or feeling.
Well, that was my question.
Yeah, it could be dust from the high plains. We've had that happen in years past where, you know, you get big dust storms out in Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, and some of those finer particles make their way into Illinois.
Yeah, it's not been hazy, but, man, it just seems like there's an awful lot of dust in the air. And it's been that way for a week, so.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. And then if you look a little further out for me, what can you tell me about next week and the weather we'll get?
Yeah, next week things look very mild, highs in the 80s, low 80s, and lows around 60. So very mild conditions. We don't have another chance of rain till about Tuesday or Wednesday or so. I think the 8 to 14-day forecast is, 6 to 10 days showing a continuation of those cool and wet conditions. And then I think the 8 to 14 days starts to get us back closer to normal.
All right. We thank you much. And just for the record, we did not mention the Dust Bowl as a possibility this time around, right?
That's right.
Okay. Thanks much.
Okay. You're welcome.
We appreciate it. Jim Angel is with the Illinois State Water Survey. Joins us from his office here in Champaign County on this Friday afternoon. That is the Closing Market Report. Hey, remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Our guest this week, Extension Ag Economist from the University of Illinois, Daryl Good. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up off our website at WILLAG.org. That's .org. You have a great afternoon, really good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.